Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
I always like finding new music quite a bit that I'm not familiar with. And my BFF John Mayer turned me onto this one.
In shadows crawl.
It's a band called Bird Talker. I just like the name of the band. The song is called Season of Charade. I listened to, I don't know John, I wish I did, I really have a man crush, but I listened to his SiriusXM station, Life with John Mayer, and he played this one, I think, last Saturday. So I put that into my queue on my music service, which was Tidal, and I like it quite a bit. Bird Talker is the name of the band. So, Sue, true story, a couple weeks ago, you know, I subscribed to every damn publication on the planet, the LA Times, the Washington Post, a lot of them, because I've always met the paywall when I'm doing show prep. So I do subscribe to the New York Times, and a couple weeks ago, I saw this story with the headline, These Roadies Help Stars Rock and Roll All Night. They're in their 70s. And I was doing regular prep, not necessarily stuff for lighter, but I'm like, I want to read that. That seems like an interesting piece. So I have this, if you have Apple products, and I'm sure you have something on your communist phone as well, where you can put it into a reading list. So I have a reading list, and then I was going to go back. So then I get a message from our friend Tim Summer, and he sends me a copy of that story, and I realize, oh, wait a second. He's the guy who wrote the story.
Oh my gosh.
This is a true story, Tim Summer. I did not know you wrote it until you shared it to me. I had every intention of reading it, and I did read it after you shared that with me. How are you, and Happy New Year?
Oh, Happy New Year to you. And I'm going to go very slightly off subject for about 18 seconds here, because I have to ask you guys a question that's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
For all I know, you've already discussed this on the show sometime in the past. How come the Cleveland Indians had to change their name, but the Kansas City Chiefs didn't?
Well, I think the answer to that is because ownership said, we're never going to do that.
Yeah.
And Chiefs Kingdom said, nope. I think it just had to be an issue of political correctness that just wasn't going to fly in Kansas City. I mean, they've slowed down with the tomahawk chop, I think, but I just don't think it was ever going to happen, and there was just too much resistance.
It's a solid question.
Yeah. But let's talk music. How about that?
Absolutely.
And I want to talk about a little bit more than your piece, but this is interesting to me as someone who has followed, and I think, Tim, you know that I've kind of joked about not seeing any more rock stars in their 70s, and I'm kind of half-joking about that, but I've seen a lot of these acts before. But one thing I know, even about Mr. Springsteen, is he's got a guy by the name of Kevin Buell, who is his guitar tech, and Kevin's been with him for decades. And as your story in the New York Times indicated, a lot of these artists have had loyal people that are now in their own 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah, well, the initiation, and the reason I did this article was I worked in the music business in the 1990s, of course, and before in the 1980s as well. And as I get older, I found that the music industry, and of course there are many music industries, there's not just one music industry, but the music industries can be a very ageist place. Like, for instance, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone working in a record company who is, say, over 30 years old. Of course, that's an exaggeration,
right?
But that's the basic idea. It's a young person's game. However, I began to realize that I had all these friends who were roadies, who were techs, who were doing front of house. Front of house is a soundboard that's in the middle of the stadium, mm-hmm. way back there with all the buttons and knobs where they control the sound. All these people, and there were friends of mine who were in their 60s and 70s, and they kept on working. Specifically, I have this friend named Ace, and he did a front of house for Sammy Hagar. He does Dream Theater. He's always working. Ace has more work than he could possibly ever do. And Ace is my age, and he keeps on working and working and working. And I thought, wow, I bet there are a lot of people like this, and it turns out there were. There were these guys in their 70s. There are guys approaching in their 80s who are still out there working.
Dang. Yeah, it's awesome. Sorry, like you have quotes like Betty Cantor Jackson, 76, first worked a soundboard for the Grateful Dead in 1968. She's still doing gigs in the Bay Area. Wow. Frank Gallagher, 77. He's in Vegas doing the B-52's residency. So a lot of these, and for the artists, this is about trust and loyalty, right?
Absolutely, because let's take one of the people I interviewed was this guy Kevin Dugan, who's a legend in the music industry. He is the bass tech for Michael Anthony, and he's been the bass tech for Michael Anthony since Van Halen was playing clubs. And the fact is, if you have a guy who you've trusted to sit behind your amp and tune your instrument and prepare your instrument and prepare your amplifier, and they've been doing it and doing it right year after year after year, why would you change horses? You wouldn't. Plus, these people become a member of your family. These people become an extension of your arm. They become an extension of the instrument themselves. One of the guys I wrote about, who is the Edge's guitar tech, okay, Dallas Hsu. That's his name, Dallas Hsu. Dallas literally sits curled up beneath the stage, triggering the Edge's effects. He's indispensable to the guy, and Dallas is 70 years old. So once these people, you know, the first thing to say is once these people, you trust them, why would you ever change? Secondly, it is utterly wonderful that older people are still being appreciated and employed by the music industry. Now, number three, it says something very, very nice about the unions. All of these guys, every person I talk to, with one small exception, every person I talk to is a member of the union, and they all speak very, very highly about it. And you have these guys, I'll take my friend Frank Gallagher as an example. He does high-end work for the B-52s. He just came off a long residency with the B-52s in Las Vegas. As soon as he gets home, he calls his union and says, "Do you need me for anything?" And they said, "Yeah, we need someone to run a microphone at a convention today." "Yeah, I can do that." And it's wonderful that the unions are still powerful in that business. And it's just, it's a very, very nice story. I thought it was sort of a very feel-good story, just that older people are still being appreciated in the business. And I'm going to give you an example. It's a little bit selfish. I had a very, very good run as an A&R person. An A&R person is the person who finds the talent for a label and brings them in and develops that talent.
Yeah, by the way, it was my dream job when I was like 16 years old,
sure.
And I ended up in radio. It really was, because I think I told you this, but I you know, that's what I wanted to do. I really did, and you got to do it. So anyway, go ahead. I cut you off.
You get to do it. And you know, and this is not a poor me story by any means, but it's worth saying. I had an extremely successful run at Atlantic Records in the 1990s. I helped make one of the most successful albums of all time. Now, I left that label in 1999. I'm now in my 60s. If I tried to find a job at a major label, I don't think I could even get a job as somebody's assistant. I don't think I could get a job opening mail. And that's not because someone doesn't like me. That's not because I ever made any enemies. It's just because no one would hire an A&R guy in their 60s, or for that matter, their 50s, or for that matter, their 40s.
Or 30s.
It was
right,
a joy.
Yeah.
It was a joy to write this story for the New York Times, in which I was able to say, here is a feel-good story about people in their 60s and 70s in the music industry still being appreciated and still working, working, working with no end in sight.
My sense is also, and I offered Kevin's name as an example, for those of us who really, really follow these bands, whether it's U2 or Van Halen or Springsteen, the super fans, they know these people too, because the bands,
yes,
and the artists have made them special. So that's kind of fun as well. Let's talk about some other stuff though while we have you here. And I know you wrote about Michael Stipe recently, because you have some REM connections also, don't you? But he turned 65 this week.
Well, I was one of those people who became friends with the band very, very early on, before they even put out an album. And we stayed close friends. And Michael Stipe turned 65 about, I want to say about 2 weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago. And I think, I don't know so much, there are a lot of people who Michael Stipe was an important and powerful figure to them, and a figure in sort of encouraging them to be themselves. For instance, I personally believe that there wouldn't be any Kurt Cobain without Michael Stipe, meaning Michael Stipe came of age in a music industry where people acted a little weird, but you know what? They didn't really speak to the lonely person in their room. To me, the best thing music can do, the best thing music can do, is be a friend to the friendless. And who is more friendless than a 15, 16-year-old boy or girl sitting in their room? So that, to me, is Michael Stipe and REM built this enormous constituency in America out of people who felt, when they looked around their high school hallways, I'm a little different. I'm a little lonely. I feel a little alien to the other people here. REM collected all of those people in a constituency in the 1980s, and then that constituency went on to form bands, to write books, to form internet companies, whatever you want to say. So I thought he's a figure who has been underappreciated, not just as a musician, but in terms of his role in culture. And I know that sounds very silly, but if you read the article, which I think you did.
I did, yeah.
That I wrote for the Rock and Roll Globe on Michael Stipe's birthday, I think you'd see what I was trying to say. I don't know if any of that made sense to
no,
you.
No, it made a lot of sense. But let me ask this. This is one of my, because I was a big REM fan, I never saw them live. And, there was a period where, and we still joke about these bands who have done endless reunion tours. It's the last tour. We're going to do one more tour, Elton John, whoever. But REM breaks up and they don't ever come back out and do a tour. Why is that?
There's a small list of bands who will never reunite to do that tour, no matter how big the money is.
Are they one of them?
REM is on that list. And what's funny is, unlike all the other bands on that list, they're still all really good friends. They're still very close.
But why not then? What's the reason? He just wanted to have it a definitive end? Because you can't tell me that if REM got back together and wanted to do a residency or a big tour, they would sell out instantly.
I think they thought that their creative story was over, that they said everything they had to say, and it was time to move on. Frankly, maybe, they were a band, like so many bands, and Springsteen is a beautiful example of this, they were a band that existed as a brotherhood with their fans, right? So maybe they don't want to come out and do a tour where the tickets would be $500, $700, yeah. $1,000. They don't want to do that because they want to respect that bond they had with fans in the 1980s and the 1990s. That's just a guess, but I think it's a good guess. And the funny thing is they have kind of reunited. I mean, they played one song last year at a Songwriters Hall of Fame event. They all got together and played one song together. And they still talk all the time. Plus, you'll see that two of the band's members, the guitar player Peter Buck and the bassist Mike Mills, they play all the time. They tour in different bands. Buck and Mills tour in a wonderful band called the Baseball Project. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I have heard of them, but I don't know much about. I always heard that, I go down occasionally to Todos Santos, Mexico, and there was always a rumor that, I can't remember if it was Mills or somebody else lived down there. I don't know if you know that. And the other thing, by the way, Michael Stipe spent some time in St. Louis. He formed a band here in St. Louis.
He's from St. Louis.
I don't think he's from here originally, but he spent some time in high school here.
Yes,
so,
he did.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's from there originally, actually, but when I met Michael, he told me that although he had moved, his family had moved. He's a military kid. I don't know if you knew that.
He grew up in West Germany, I think, before he was even here.
And he spent some very formative years in St. Louis. I think he told me, despite the fact that he felt very strongly about his identity as a Southerner, as a resident of Athens, Georgia, and I'll tell you something very funny about that in a second, he told me that he felt that he sort of identified as being somebody from St. Louis.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, wow. As I'm Google searching right here and trying to recall some of this. Here's a story that was on our, this is from 2015 on our Fox 2 site. Listen to this. Here's a nugget. REM frontman Michael Stipe made an appearance on the late 1970s St. Louis broadcast of Newsbeat. This was Dick Ford and John Auble, two legendary anchors here in St. Louis. The Rocky Horror Picture Show was controversial. It says many fans flocked to full costumes. So apparently he's at one of the Rocky Horror Picture Shows, and there's a reporter in 1980 that's interviewing him.
There's a YouTube clip of it, yes.
Oh, there is. I got to check that out. Yes. That's hilarious.
YouTube clip of it. And I'll tell you something very, very quickly. I'll tell you something funny about Michael Stipe. When I first became friends with him, and I visited, I was in Athens, Georgia. This is around 1985 or so, visiting him. And I asked him, how is Athens as a place to live? And he said, Athens is fantastic as long as you stay off of the streets on a college football Saturday, which I'm sure that's true of a lot of towns.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So I wanted to talk one more 65th birthday here, because I acknowledged this earlier this week that Michael Hutchence would have turned 65 from INXS. So that led me to pull some music and to watch some videos that I hadn't seen in a long time. And I mean, you start thinking about the power that that band could have had for the last, 30 years if he was still around, because they were incredible. And it just ended in a very sad way for people. And I mean, he did. Sue and I were talking about this. It was ruled a suicide, I think, right? Because there was some sexual asphyxiation type thing.
But you know what? Who knows what the truth is?
Right, exactly. But what a loss.
I've heard otherwise. But the fact is, he was a wonderful, compelling front man.
Yeah.
Very sweet and charming human being. I was fortunate enough to meet him a few times. Couldn't have been nicer. And yeah, they were a band, and it's interesting, when you compare them to REM, I feel that INXS were a band who may have been intimidated by MTV and commercial radio into doing music that was a little more commercial, a little more to the right of where their souls were. Whereas REM sort of always stayed in their lane, and I mean that in a very positive way. They certainly expanded their music. They certainly changed their music a lot. But REM never did anything in their career just to get on the radio or anything like that. I'm not sure the same is true of INXS, but having said that, INXS, you're right. I think they could have gone on to be the kind of band that you would be seeing in stadiums now.
Yeah, I think so,
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Hey, one of the things, and I don't know how much recon you had a chance to do, but we were texting earlier today, and one of the topics I was going to bring up is just, tours for this year. Because from my, now look, I'm old, and I've been looking at some of the music festivals, and I'm seeing artists out there that I don't know. Some of them I do know. But I don't feel like there's big tours. AC/DC would be one that some aging rock guy like me would be interested in. Tim, am I wrong about that? There's big country tours. There's AC/DC. What else is out there for this summer?
You know, I was looking at that list, too, and Billy Joel's playing a couple of dates here and there.
He was just here, though. He just came here one more time to Busch Stadium.
Coldplay's playing a couple of dates. And by a couple, I mean, they're really just playing three or four dates in the United States. Metallica's playing a bunch of dates. Fisher back on tour. Rod Stewart's doing a big tour. Some of those dates with Billy Joel. But that leads to a question I have for you guys. Why does everyone always bypass St. Louis?
You know, this is an excellent question. Yeah. And this would probably be a question that we should address in a different show, maybe with other participation with you, me, and someone else that would have some level of expertise on this, because it's a very good question. By the way, it's not only big acts that tend to pass us by. There's a lot of smaller acts that, you know, club acts that will go to Kansas City and they'll go to Chicago, and they may even go to Springfield, Missouri, and they won't come here.
I mean, you have some interesting shows coming up. Like, you have Daryl Hall coming to a People Theater. And you have, you seem to have some fairly decent acts at a club called The Pageant.
The Pageant's a great club. We have another club out in the West St. Louis suburbs called The Factory. They've been stealing a lot of those shows maybe that The Pageant would get. But that does book in a lot of the, you know, a lot of the smaller alternative rock acts.
And of course, the band that needs that really so underexposed that I'm really glad they have a chance to play in your area. I noticed that Post Malone.
There's hardly any Post Malone.
Stadium.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be a big show.
Good for them, because you do not hear enough about Post Malone. You just don't.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier. You know, I'm thinking about this. The only tickets I think I have, this is rare, Sue. You know I go to a lot of shows.
Yes.
I think the only tickets I have are for the Toto tour, and we decided to go see them in Las Vegas in August. They're coming here to St. Louis, but I don't even have tickets for anything right now, which is kind of weird.
If I was going to tell you to drive, I don't know. Is Kansas City too far for you to drive?
No, it's 4 hours. It's nothing. Billy Idol's going on a tour, and you know Billy Idol pretty well, too.
Yes,
he's not. He's skipping here.
He's going on a wonderful tour with Joan Jett.
And he's skipping St. Louis. Damn it, Timson. Can you have a conversation with him?
If you want to drive to Kansas City on March 31st, go see Kraftwerk.
Oh, that's kind of interesting to me for sure.
Yeah.
I've never seen Kraftwerk. We may have to talk about that one. But thank you, Tim Sommer. We always love your contributions.
Always a pleasure. And as I said to you in the text, I love Sue's News. I wish I can't get enough of it.
Well, check out the New York Times piece about roadies. Just Google Tim Sommer, roadies, New York Times. Tim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
What a pleasure. And thank you so much. And great weekend to you guys, too.
Bird Talker, the name of this band. I like this song.
Get more at 971talk.com.